because what's different about, you know, brands or celebrities coming in versus new projects that are dropping is they already have an identity and they have a community and they have their own intellectual property, that it's more like bringing that intellectual property to a new medium. So making sure that it's true to who they are and how they've talked about themselves in the past so that their current fans feel like this is a new extension of them.
Welcome to the NFT Now podcast.
Every Wednesday, we speak with trailblazing artists, collectors, and technologists about how NFTs are redefining the creative economy and how you can be a part. I'm Sam Heisel.
I'm Alejandro Navia.
And I'm Matt Medved, and we're on a mission to empower the creators of culture.
Welcome to the show. The squad is back. To a very special day for our listeners. Not only do we have a very special guest, Avery Akinani, but we also have the entire co-founding team here at NFT Now. Matt, Alejandro, how are we doing, guys?
We are doing great. Glad to have Alejandro here in New York.
You know, super awesome. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, for sure. Well, in today's episode, we have a very special guest, Avery Akinani. She is the president of Vayner NFT. Prior to being the president of Vayner NFT, she was the former head of Asia Pacific at Vayner, overseeing all of the operations and client work in those countries and markets. True, incredible operator, very strong vision as it pertains to different things that are happening in the wonderful world of Vayner NFTs. What stood out to you, Matt?
Yeah, you know, I'm really excited to hear about what's happening at Vayner NFT. Obviously, Gary Vaynerchuk has been so active in the space as a collector, launching VFriends, et cetera. And already Vayner NFT has been making waves in the brand game. The collaboration with Tom Sachs and Budweiser around the Racket Factory stands out. So, you know, I'm really excited to kind of dig a bit deeper and see what's coming up and what they have in the work.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what I love about this brand conversation is, like, I'm really looking forward to seeing diving deeper into the intersection of how brands can leverage NFTs and, like, what she's seen that does well and what hasn't done well.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's a massive space and just starting to see some brands dip their toes into the space, but it's the tidal wave is coming. Very excited to dive into all of this and more momentarily. One last thing though, if you haven't already, wouldn't be doing my job if we didn't plug the newsletter, but it's for you and the value. Every single week, we're effectively synthesizing and curating some of the best updates, our favorite upcoming drops, interesting things that we're seeing in the market into our weekly newsletter. So do want to encourage you guys to sign up there. That's nftnow.com. But without any further ado, Avery Akinani. Avery, what's happening? Welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Good. Thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Definitely. Pleasure is ours. I think for starters, we'd really just love to kind of hear a bit of the founding story of Vayner NFTs. Now, you've been working at Vayner for a while, leading a lot of the amazing initiatives over there. But what kind of got you into NFTs and how did that really kind of snowball into Vayner NFTs? Vayner NFT?
It's a great question. So Vayner NFT, we've been talking about it since at the end of 2020. I was living in Singapore and I'd open our Asia Pacific operations. So in Singapore and in Tokyo and Bangkok and Sydney, and that had been an amazing adventure, but I knew I wanted to come home. So around Christmas time, I had dinner with Gary and we're discussing what was next, what was kind of coming up. And he started to tell me a little bit about his first concept for VFriends, which, you know, the first time I heard it, I was like, okay, you're going to draw your doodles and then create a community around them. And it's going to be around different traits that matter to you. And I thought it sounded a little bit crazy. But he, you know, Gary gave me the guidance, like, hey, spend a lot of time learning about NFTs because this is going to be huge and it's coming in the next 6 to 12 months. So I said, okay, awesome. So I spent a bunch of time reading, learning, listening, and getting a little bit more serious about what was happening in the NFT community and also where we saw opportunities for growth. So fast forward a couple of months, and by early Q1, we decided that we were going to launch Vayner NFT in July when I was coming back from Singapore. We also knew that would have given us a little bit of time after Gary's project launched, which is called VFriends. So it would have given us some opportunity to understand what works, what doesn't. And you know, Sam, I know you're used to our Vayner ways, but a lot of times we like to test something with Gary's community and brand first before we roll it out to all of our other partners. So we felt like we'd gotten some really good learnings, what to do, and in some cases, what we would have done differently in the case of VFriends. And in July, we started talking to a couple of our Vayner partners about, you know, wanting to come on board with us and launch some NFTs. Because Gary was also inundated with interest of celebrities, of brands, of associations who saw VFriends and said, okay, I want my version of that. So we then started to get serious with some of those conversations and launched some of our first projects in August, did a bunch of recruiting and hiring of mostly crypto native people who have a real one understanding and two love for this space. We thought that was really important is people who are a mix of OGs and have, you know, dedicated a lot of their personal life and personal time to this community. Did a bunch of hiring, got some people that, you know, have really helped us understand the space better and craft programs that are strategic and are interesting and nod to the original crypto community while bringing in more people, which has been one of our big objectives. We launched our first couple of projects in August, and there's a lot more coming. We're excited about the future and the potential because it's really super early days for Vayner NFT and what we'll be up to.
That's great. That's great. I love hearing sort of that origin story and, you know, Gary with the V Friends concept. Obviously, that has taken off in a big way. Let's talk a little bit about the big picture sort of like mission of Vayner NFT. Like what would you say is like, what's the goal there? And what are some of the core offerings and the types of partners that you're working with?
Yeah, I think our mission is to help brands, people of interest and associations navigate the wonderful world of NFTs and create programs that build communities and drive value for those communities and oftentimes for those businesses themselves. So a big ambition of ours is to bring more people into the space of NFTs and grow that overall pie and overall share. So a big focus on education, on on-ramping people, creating programs that are accessible in addition to valuable and rare, of course, and design things that are really built for in perpetuity for the next 45 years, not the next 45 days, and avoiding any programs that that are just an ad campaign that you're sticking in an NFT component. I mean, we get a lot of those kind of requests, as you can imagine. Whenever we're launching an NFT program, we really want it to have elements of utility, of community, of scale, also access and scarcity to drive up those sort of rare angles. And some of the groups that we're working with are celebrities who want to find a new way to connect with their communities. You know, social media opened up a lot of direct communication between celebrities and their fan bases, but NFTs open a new way to sort of tokenize those experiences and kind of create ongoing loyalty programs that reward their communities for being with them. So certainly those like people of interest, whether it's a celeb or an athlete or a creator, an influencer, you're starting to see a lot of this happen. And, you know, secondarily brands, VaynerMedia is primarily built to service and partner with brands. And we think that brands have so much amazing intellectual property. And we're fortunate to be working with some really cool brands who want to find a new way to connect with their communities as well. And then of course, association. So whether it's like a sports league or a record label or something like that, sort of that represent, individuals at a little bit more scale. I think that makes sense as well. Particularly in like the athlete and the musician community, that, you know, there's a scale play there or, you know, university, any of those types of association groups that aren't necessarily a brand and aren't necessarily a person of interest.
That's really interesting, Avery. And I love the way you bring up the intentionality of working with specific brands. What are some of the projects that Vayner NFT has worked on and how did they go?
Yeah, so I'll talk about one that just ended this Sunday, which was fun. So we did something with the US Open. US Open is most important tennis championship in the United States. Tennis is a sport that has a lot of history and legacy. And we were honored that the US Open wanted to do something with us. And most tennis fans, though, are not crypto native users. And we wanted to design a program with them that starts to build that education and bring people into the space without necessarily needing to have 10 ETH in your wallet to participate. So we did a program with the Open that had basically three tiers. One was about just a collectible that anyone around the world could buy. Several thousand of those were sold. An asset that's a beautiful like 3D trophy. Then we had a free token experience for attendees through a partnership with PoApp. So basically, if you had gone to the men's finals, like that would be a specific token that you could get, much in the same way that, you know, physical ticket collecting has existed at the Open forever. And then we had a player trading card collection that was 20 blue legendary cards and then one golden ace card per player. And all these players were actually US Open champions. So people like Venus Williams, Andy Roddick, the Bryan brothers, Billie Jean King, Stan Smith. We worked with those athletes to capture iconic US Open moments and then tokenize these in the 2021 US Open collection. So that was really cool. Those were auction based. And we wanted to do 21 because it's 2021. And we actually picked those athletes because they were celebrating special commemorative moments, like 50 years since they had won the championship kind of thing. So yeah, that was a really fun program. I think we learned a lot. Very much designed to be accessible for the non-crypto native crowd and to do a sort of first collection that paves the way for a bigger splash next year. There was, you know, we had a little fun surprise plan for Sunday if this specific like legendary moment had occurred, which didn't end up happening. But, you know, there was a lot of kind of fun planning of all of that and a lot of, you know, awesome comments and reaction from the tennis community and the sort of more mainstream press. Like, you know, it was on CNN yesterday. So that was nice to see.
Yeah, it sounds like these are some really fun activations and like very intentional. And I love the inclusion of the POAP and like making sure that make it super friendly to onboard individuals, right? That's our really main, our goal together. It looks like we're going to bridge niche to mainstream. I was wondering, you probably guys are super inundated with so many brands and partners wanting to work with you guys. You know, you guys are Vayner, the name, the full nine. What is your partner evaluation? How does one become a partner of Vayner NFT?
Yeah, I think one is some element of a cultural fit. We want to make sure what they're looking to do is aligned with what we're looking to do. So some cultural fit like vibes, criteria, which is super important to us. Second is a commitment to the space beyond just doing a drop and just doing like a one-time press hit. We want to work with partners who are looking to build something for the long term here and who want to spend the time and investment educating themselves on the space and taking it seriously. So I'd say that's the second criteria. And then thirdly, I think it's around the concept and what we can come up with. It's a concept that we think is engaging and it's interesting and has some option for success both in the short term and in the long term.
Right, I love that. No, for sure. And I think lots of exciting stuff in the pipeline, I'm sure. One kind of question too, and I think for part of the conversation today, really excited just to look at this from the perspective of how this is effectively becoming a new mechanism for marketing in general, right? Like, yeah, you have TikTok, Twitter, Instagram. Now you have like NFTs and the kind of community management. I know one of the underlying kind of principles of anything Vayner related is always the ruthless hunt for underpriced attention, which for some of our listeners is in just trying to find various tactics or channels that aren't yet necessarily exploited by the mainstream marketers and mainstream brands and talent and personalities. So that way, by being a bit of an early mover, you're able to get disproportionate reach, engagement, growth. So I think as we think about NFTs, obviously a lot of people see it as kind of this direct monetization opportunity, and not going to discount that is part of the picture, but there also very much is this kind of using NFTs to foster community growth, to drive brand engagement, right? Like even if you look at some of the most successful projects, take kind of Bored Apes, for example, their community is second to none. That the way in which they engage their community, build a sense of ambassadorship. This is a true kind of like, well, maybe not fully viral, but there's kind of using community as its own growth engine. So I'm curious from your perspective, how NFTs and the community management associated with it are effectively a form of underpriced attention and how this can be a massive opportunity for marketers as they're evaluating different channels in their marketing mix.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, you're spot on that underpriced attention is always one of our focuses. And in this case, I think it's two ways, right? Like one, this is a super active community on Twitter, on Discord. The NFT community is all in, as you guys are more than well aware. So engaging with this sort of crypto community is inherently that's its own sort of community management exercise. With that said, though, this crypto community has a lot, like has ambitions to grow dramatically. And the community that you can build within can be inherently global, which is something that for most of our marketers, like that's not how people run marketing campaigns today. They run them very much market to market. And this gives us an opportunity to really like communicate at a global scale. And it's interesting also to see some discords that are, you know, organized by language and organized by interest. And we're excited about finding ways to strategically build communities and also deliver value to those communities in probably a more direct way than you've been able to previously. like airdropping something to your community is like amazing, right? And people get really excited about that. And that, you know, I think the commercial element does play in here as well. Like today was the first PLP drop from VFriends, and, you know, we airdropped 555 tokens into random VFriends holders wallets, which is like, that's an amazing way to like really build incentives for your community that get them excited and keep them engaged. And I think also, like, you know, you mentioned this at the beginning, but marketing has always been an investment center. Always, it's only in. There's no coming out, right? And it's, I think it's definitely interesting to a lot of brands to understand how this could become, I wouldn't say a profit center, but like cost neutral. They throw, for example, a concert. You know, this is something Red Bull's been doing forever. They throw a concert that's actually entertainment. You can charge that. Of course, it's also a marketing event. So having that be like a cost neutral engagement, I think is cool, but it's all about delivering value. Like if you have something that's valuable to your community that they're willing to have a value exchange for, then that can be a really cool experience that you're designing. But I don't think brands are so much in the space of commercialization yet. I think they're more exploration, community building, and the ones that are doing it right are using it as a way to, you know, potentially deliver on philanthropic commitments and, you know, charity activations, or just learn. Like I think it was smart what, you know, what Budweiser did with Tom Sachs, what Visa did with CryptoPunks, that show what Arizona Iced Tea did with the Bored Apes, that show an interest in and a real vested interest, like a financial interest in this community. I think it's the best way for brands to get started and not just come across as they're launching another social media channel, because that's not really what it's about.
Yeah, no, for sure. I love that. Definitely just want to kind of highlight a couple of things. On one side, I think there's like, love how you broke it down, because there's the just being proactive in engaging this new market and this existing customer segment, which is kind of the crypto native NFT community, which is very thriving. And I think a lot of the drops that do a bad job and a lot of brands that do unsuccessful NFTs are the ones that overlook that component and the importance of really leaning in to build rapport with that community. But then on the other side is really just this new mechanism of engagement. I think you look at like social media, Instagram, you have 100,000 followers, maybe you reach like 10 to 20% of those followers organically. You don't have any of their data necessarily. They're not necessarily signed up to an email list. With NFTs, it really does create this new kind of engagement loop and mechanism, right? There's kind of less of a veil between you and your customers and your community. So that enables communication, that enables a new level of perks and access. And I think it's, it is interesting too. Like I know another like common Gary story is him like underpriced attention being very early on email marketing and used to getting like ridiculous open rates. Like I think we've seen little, like in the NFT community, a lot of NFT creators are like just sending NFTs to people that have their wallets public. So like, yeah. Hopefully like NFT wallets and I guess ETH wallets don't get to a point where you're just getting like bombarded by random projects, but there is this kind of new mechanism for communication. So it is really interesting to think about this other opportunity, which isn't just tackling the crypto native customer segment, but is using and innovating on a whole new mechanism of customer and consumer engagement.
Yeah, it's super exciting and super fun. Also, like you said, very, very early days, but it's been a blast to, you know, help educate brands in this space and guide them on the way to think about it right. Another example, this wasn't a Vayner project, but, you know, the Hundreds did a really nice job of launching their Atom Bomb project. They're a streetwear brand that, yes, is niche, but I thought they did an amazing job bringing along their community and designing a really cool program. We're looking forward to seeing what happens with that.
Totally agree with, I think it's Bobby Hundreds, you know, Ben Hundreds have done a great job of really kind of getting into the space and aligning themselves with the right people. And I think you did a great job of, you know, talking about some of the things that brands have done right, but what have you seen brands do wrong in entering the space?
I think that when brands have done something wrong, it's just something that you're kind of like, oh, cringe brand, silence brand kind of moments. When, you know, you try the same week that that Coca-Cola did a really cool like loot box activation, which, you know, it was a one-time drop that sold for $600,000. Like another brand launched something on a small platform that sold for $600. So there can be a really wide variety of outcomes with NFTs. And I think brands who just try to do something from web two into web three, it's tricky. I think it's tricky from just like, you know, general user feedback perspective. If you just jump in and are not exactly sure, like what you're adding is a unique value to the space. I think that has not gone as well as it could have. And I think you've seen the same with celebrities, right? Who celebrities have jumped in, done something that's a quick drop, get their money and they're out. Or they, you know, it comes across very immediately that they're not authentically engaged. They're in the Discord for 5 minutes and they're out. Then those projects don't tend to do as well. And I think that the cycle of NFTs in the secondary market inherently really rewards creators, whether they be brands or they be celebrities, to remain engaged beyond just the one-time drop. And you see this like for sure in secondary sales volume.
That's really powerful. And you mentioned so many little details that are really profound to the importance of community. But in terms of like brands that you've seen, what are some of the common objections and hesitations from potential brand partners? And how do you help foster the excitement and trust for them to overcome?
I think help foster the excitement. There's a lot of excitement. It's more like harnessing the excitement because they have a lot of ideas, some of which are feasible, some of which are not. And I think candidly, one of our challenges has been the technical and operational infrastructure setup of some of these like brands and celebrities who are interested and want to do something cool, but either they're not ready to invest, or they're, for example, not ready to handle cryptocurrency, which is like inherently a big part of NFTs. And I think those barriers do exist today, but of course we can always find a solution, whether that be working with a marketplace partner who has all this turnkey, or doing really strategic partnership activations. That's another way to kind of get around this and help harness the excitement and get your feet a little bit into the water without going like all in. I think that's, you know, at least how we've been trying to balance it.
Yeah, for sure. Fascinating and fun times for sure. We're all fighting the good fight here.
Yeah.
With that said, I'm curious, over time, I mean, looking at different verticals that are most likely to be disrupted. I know it's funny too, because there was a talk with one of the founders of OpenSea while he was at the like Christie's summit, and they'd been obviously building OpenSea for years. And obviously in the last year, it's really blown up. And the vertical that's had the most explosive growth has been this kind of digital art, crypto art vertical. Obviously there's implications across other verticals, other industries. We're seeing sports, we're seeing gaming, starting to see more like CPG and actual like brands, like physical product brands, hundreds, et cetera. When you think about the verticals most likely to be disrupted, what emerges or what jumps out to you as other potential front runners?
I think entertainment and ticketing is huge. That's, you know, been an industry that has, I think there's been a lot of middlemen in that particular industry, and finding a way to enable that through NFTs makes a lot of sense. I think anything related to like luxury and provenance, NFTs are a great way to have that authentication. So whether that's like a fine wine or like a really expensive one of one bag, or, you know, a one of one jewel, like I think there's some exploration in the luxury sector. And then music, I think, you know, just sort of the music industry is ripe for disruption of the way it's set up now. I know there's been some dabbling there of, you know, mainstream artists like the Kings of Leon and also more sort of crypto native stuff like Euler Beats. But I think that there's going to be a lot happening with music and giving your fans access to your music through NFTs and then access to potentially yourself as a musician. Super cool. Let's see, there's been some dabbling in the physical product space, but not much yet. Like, yes, the hundreds and yes, artifact, but I think there'll be a lot more of that stuff coming, for fashion companies. I'm pumped to see like, you know, what we're cooking up with some cool fashion companies, to launch something in that space as well.
Makes total sense. You know, I think you bring up a really interesting point, like, you know, sort of bridging this URL to IRL, the idea of digital identity and how that manifests in the physical world, whether that's, you know, merchandise or installations, et cetera. I feel like it's still very early in the game for NFT use and adoption among brands. Right. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts, like looking forward, what are some of the leading use cases that you're most excited about? And like, are you thinking about the metaverse and how that plays into your strategy as well?
Yeah. So I'll address the metaverse first, because I think that's an important one. 100% yes. I think there's a sort of natural tie-in with gaming, and brands who've already done, you know, stuff in the gaming space makes that a little bit of a natural fit. So in the metaverse, whether it's like recreating a real physical space that's then going to be in the metaverse, we're doing some of that for some upcoming activations that'll be cool. Like, let's just say you have a special building that's iconic, you can actually recreate it in the metaverse so people can experience that as well. You're starting to see some brands do some of that stuff as well. Like SK2 did a nice like virtual pop-up in Tokyo that, you know, they wanted to bring Tokyo to the world during their Olympics campaign, and Coca-Cola did a little party in Decentraland. So you're seeing some of that happening. We have a few metaverse activations planned. Excuse me. But I think that is really, really early days still, versus where it'll be in the next few months and years. I see that as a place where there'll be a lot of growth.
That's really awesome. In terms of the growth that you've seen, what has been some of your favorite brand NFT activations to date, even outside of Vayner NFT? I know you mentioned the hundreds dropping the atom bombs and things of that nature, but what's one that's just been super exciting for you that you're like, I need to collect this, I need to be on, like?
Let's see. I mean, from a brand activation standpoint, there haven't been many yet that are like, you know, to this hundreds is probably like the biggest scale brand drop so far. So there haven't been many. What you have seen is really like small scale activations, PR stunts, collaborations, in-game things. I will say the Stella and Zed partnership was really cool. It was cool to see, you know, the Life Artois branded sort of horse racing and also see how that drove value to their community and even perceived value just from like the pricing perspective. So that was a really cool one. And I love Zed, and I love what they are able to build with partners.
Yeah. I love all of those. Excited to see more case studies to come in general. I think like you mentioned, still very early in the brand space, a lot of brands starting to dip their toes in the water, but I think a tidal wave is coming for sure.
I think so.
And I mean, it's interesting, even on our side with NFT now, it's like we kind of have looked at what do we feel are different customer segments in mainstream adoption, right? You have like early adopters, early majority, late majority. I mean, at first we were looking at these different spaces like music fans, artists, crypto art. But then it kind of occurred to us that like brands and brand marketers too, like this becomes just a whole new sect of knowledge for marketers themselves. So I think still just in the first, like not even the first inning there. I'm curious from your perspective, and this goes kind of brands, talent, like you're obviously kind of putting in a lot of reps with different partners to kind of evaluate and look at the landscape and identify what's the best way for a brand or talent or partner to engage in the space. What kind of advice or frameworks do you have that you can share as to like, okay, I want to do an NFT drop. I run a big brand or I'm a major celebrity. What do I do? Like what's kind of your framework there?
Yeah. I think first starting off with like, what are they looking to do with their brand or, you know, in general, right? Like what do they stand for? In the case of Gary, it was like, he stands for these values and he talks about them in his content. So it's kind of built off that. I feel like you have to start with the DNA of what they stand for. Let's just say, you know, for a beer brand, it might be, they stand for bringing people together. Okay, cool. Their NFT should be about bringing people together. So I think starting with brand DNA is always like super important just to ground the strategy in something that's aligned to what they already have done. Because what's different about, you know, brands or celebrities coming in versus new projects that are dropping is they already have an identity and they have a community and they have their own intellectual property, that it's more like bringing that intellectual property to a new medium. So making sure that it's true to who they are and how they've talked about themselves in the past so that their current fans feel like this is a new extension of them. I think first it's starting there. Then second, it's thinking about who do they want to engage in this project? Is it the existing crypto community or do they want to be bringing in more people to that? So thinking about that, and I think, you know, for most more mainstream types, it makes sense to think about scale, access, and scarcity, and also thinking about tiered experiences. Something that can be for everyone, something that can be for a select few, and then something that could be that like rare, very special opportunity. And when designing that, it's like, okay, there's the aesthetic element of how does it look? That obviously drives a lot of interest and engagement, but also how are you going to launch it? It's like, great. Are you giving this out to your community first dibs? Are you going to announce the launch at a special moment in your life? Or, you know, kind of orchestrating that launch strategy in a way that makes sense, or dropping on the first day of some event or some, you know, festival that might matter. So I think that's kind of where we started, is brand DNA, what they stand for already, who are they trying to target, and then crafting like the right look, feel, and also the right brand launch strategy to make sure that we maximize that launch moment and have everybody ready for it, especially when you're thinking of something more mainstream. I think you have to give fans some time to be aware. You have to give some time to build your Discord community, some time for people to anticipate, for the big reveal.
Yeah, no, I absolutely love that. And I think very well-rounded hits on a lot of the key points too. And even take it a step further and towards the end, I mean, thinking around launch strategy, kind of want to like go back in time in your like life at Vayner. Cause I think Vayner too is very much world renowned in their ability to kind of create and distribute content in a way that it helps grow, engage, and convert community. So I'm curious, like, we hear time and time again at the foundation of any successful NFT project is community, right? And I think you can have a really cool project, and if you build it, you cannot assume that they will come, right? Like there's this community building that needs to happen. So I'm curious from, I mean, obviously, I'm sure you're thinking, you're still continuing to think about this and at the root of Vayner NFT, but just in your experience, helping different brands build, engage, and convert community, what are some other just foundational marketing principles that you think people that are listening should just make sure they're not overlooking as they try and build successful projects?
Yeah, for one, community management, like moderation, responses. People love when you're responding to them like one-to-one. So I think responsiveness really matters. And then just being communicative, like giving updates daily, regularly, really being leaned in. I think that's a place we always recommend people invest, because your community is not just a place for like, you to broadcast. It's a two-way street, and it's a place for, you know, brands and celebrities to get feedback as well. What do people like? What do they not like? And then how can we use those insights to ultimately power the next iteration of our program? So, you know, I think for us, community management really underpins like most of the campaigns we do, whether it's a Super Bowl drop or a social campaign or an NFT. We really believe that social is intrinsically linked to that. And then when it comes to communicating updates on the programs, like it's obviously important to keep that drumbeat strong, encourage people to foster, communication with each other within the community as well. It's one of the reasons we're super excited about VCon is, you know, we can take the community that's been built from VFriends and actually have them all in one place. So we've got some really cool like team building and community building kind of activations planned there for Minneapolis next spring.
That's amazing. Super excited. I think obviously you have your hands full, some stuff you share with us, some stuff you can't talk about, but I'm sure we'll see on some headlines near you. So Avery, thank you so much for coming out. Keep up all of the great work. We're really grateful for all the contributions you're making to the NFT community as a whole.
Thank you so much for having me, and right back at you. You guys are doing the good work, and we really appreciate it and honored to be on your show.
We're all going to make it. There we go.
Thanks, Avery.
Well, that was an incredible conversation. Avery has so many great insights, very eloquent as it pertains to distilling it down to very actionable perspectives. Really kind of loved her just general framework of helping brands identify what's kind of the value they want to create in the space. What are the interesting mechanics of NFTs and technology that will create the most impact, not only for a brand, but also for a community, and really unleashing the power of NFTs and of this technology to create prosperity for brands and their communities. What stood out to you guys?
Yeah, you know, I always like to say, I think, you know, an NFT drop should be a beginning, not an end. And it's clear that Avery understands that, talking about how the secondary sales dynamic really reward brands and creators who stay engaged. I thought that was a really salient point. And I loved hearing her thoughts on the metaverse, because I also think it's the future.
Yeah, I think great points, Matt. I think to double down on that, the intentionality behind how Vayner actually chooses who to partner with, and making sure that they're meeting the standards of community versus like just the bottom line type style was really, really powerful. And you can just see the passion that Avery has for NFTs. When you think about Vayner, you think about Gary, but then just seeing Avery's passion and commitment and lighting up and the intentionality behind it is super, super, super awesome.
1000%. Well, thank you guys. Thank you, Avery. Thank you, everybody that's tuning in. Really gracious and really grateful, and appreciate all your support. We'll be back next week, but until then, we out.